deciding to watch this. I'm going to go ahead and pray real quick. Dear Lord, as always, just guide my words. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If I'm being honest, last night I was in my bed. I turned over. I flipped open my book. I read what I had written down, and I was like, I don't know. So what I will say is, sometimes I'm going to probably go off book. Sometimes I won't. It'll be a little bit of a mix of stuff. But anyway, I've kind of just realized over the years, God kind of just talks to everybody kind of however he decides to. Most of the time when I stand and give a sermon, he's given it to me in some way, shape, or form. Typically, I've had conversations with my aunt, Shishi, and something clicks in my head. I'm like, oh, okay. This time it was a little bit different, a little bit more unorthodox. For those who know me, they know I like professional wrestling. And one of the characters in particular, he has two sides to his character. He has the side that is Mr. Rogers-esque. He's very friendly. He's very nice. He promotes forgiveness and stuff like that. But even while he's in that character, he always flashes his other character, which is very vengeful and dark. A lot of the times when they flash that persona, he has these gloves on. And the gloves, on one glove it says hurt. On the other glove it says heal. And for whatever reason, those words were playing in my head and have been for a while. So, name of my message is hurt or heal. I'm sure if I gave this a couple months ago, this would sound a little bit different, but given the times that we're in right now, where, you know, everything's a little bit uncertain, we're even doing these sermons a little bit different than normal. I know some people are going through some hardships. I know some people are just having overall difficulty just dealing with everything that's going on anyway. But at the same time, like, what are we going to do? How are we handling it? How are we going to respond to everything? I know me personally, I have a tendency to just watch and look at everything that's going on around me. One day I was in Chipotle and, you know, just patiently waiting my turn. And the lady in front of me got a little nasty with the people behind the counter, and it was something that was completely out of their control. So in that case, I thought to myself, well, she could have handled that better. But because she was having a moment or a bad day, she took it out on them. So she had a decision to make. She, at that moment, when she happened to make that her one decision, she could have made a different decision. She could have been like, hey, it's okay. We're going to keep going forward with whatever we have going on, and it's not that big of a deal. I think people don't realize how much of a difference that can make in somebody's day, even with something as simple as, instead of you, for lack of a better term, popping off at them, you just be kind and gentle. She could have chosen to be kind and gentle, but she didn't. So, of course, at that point, I did what I most likely normally do. I just tried to make light of, you know, our situation as it was my turn to go. Because it really just, it's not a big deal. It's all good. But anyway, when I was going through some scriptures, the first one that I really came across was Psalms 141 and verse 3. And it says, "Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips." We really don't understand how easy it is for us just to say whatever we want to say, do whatever we want to do, especially in a situation where we might be frustrated or we might be a little aggravated in some way, shape, or form. But we truly do need to think about the things that we say, think about the things that are coming out of my mouth before we do them. They have a profound effect on not only ourselves spiritually, but other people naturally. Some of the other verses that I came across were Colossians 3 and 8. Which says, "Now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, and malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language." Yeah. Continuing on, Colossians 4 and 6. "Let your conversations be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone." Titus 3. 1 and 2. Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officials. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility towards everyone. That kind of goes along with something else I'll talk about in a little bit. But a lot of what I've been talking about right now have been just words. The mouth is so strong and it's so powerful that, you know, I've been up here before and talked about the things that are coming out of your mouth, and clearly I got some work to do with it if it keeps coming up. But we really have to be mindful what we say, and not only what we say, how we say it. So I'll kind of end this little part with James chapter 1, starting at verse 19. "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce righteousness. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you carefully look into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress, and refusing to let the world corrupt you." So that kind of also, as we're talking about the things that are coming out of our mouths, it also kind of leads into the next part. And it's our actions. Yeah, some people say actions speak louder than words. Sometimes that's true, depending on the situation. Like I said, we sometimes don't realize how powerful our words can be. But also, our actions mean something as well. Just because we can do something doesn't always mean we should. And just how you deal with certain things is just, we always have a decision. We always have a decision to make. The scripture that I have to go along with that is Luke 10, starting at verse 25. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him. "Do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." Sometimes your actions really do speak louder than your words. It's very easy for us, especially even as God talks to us, we still get to make a choice. We still get to decide what we do because God gave us free will. But even as God talks to us, it's very easy to make the decision not to do what God has asked us to do. It's very easy to walk past the man who's been beaten up on the side of the road. As we can see in the story, 2 people did it. But it was the one person who nobody expected to even stop to help him was the one that stopped and helped him. And not only did that, but then offered his money to help keep the man at the inn to continue to for him to get better. Now, if that isn't Christ-like, I'm not exactly sure what is. But that's what God wants from us at the end of the day. God wants us to be Christ-like. We're supposed to be children of God. And even as we go through all this stuff, through the pandemic, through daily life, through maybe having a job, maybe not having a job, it's so easy for us to go and internalize everything, and make everything about us. And I'll be honest, I have that problem as well at times. But we can't forget who we live for. Hallelujah. We can't forget who we work for at the end of the day. And he's the only person that has a say whether we get into heaven or not. And if helping the man on the side of the road is the difference between me getting into heaven or not, might as well just go ahead and do it, because that's what God asks of me anyway. And that's just one of those things that sometimes God doesn't even have to ask you. We know. We know right from wrong. It's built into us. So what I'll say in closing is do what's right. Try not to be so into yourself that we can't, you know, speak nice to people. We can't use our words to heal. We don't want to use our words or our actions to hurt. Amen. We want to be there and help build each other up, because that's what we're here for. We're not here to tear people down. We're not here to be ugly and nasty or anything like that. We're here to heal. We're here to collect souls for Christ. We're here to show people what Christ is really all about. Because we are sometimes the only Christ that people will ever see. So, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing me to give this message. Thank you for continuing to work in me and all of us, with all of us who end up struggling with some of this stuff, struggling with the words that come out of our mouth, struggling with the actions that we do each and every day. I truly believe we all want to be better. I truly believe that we want to do the right thing. We want the right things to come out of our mouths. We want the right things to be shown by us to other people, because, like I said, sometimes we're the only Christ that people see. So I just thank you for continuing to work in us, to continuing to show us the right and true way to go about this life while we're here on earth, until we get to go home with you. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you would like to give your life to Christ, you can do it now. It doesn't take a whole lot. All you have to do is believe and say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I want for you to be my Savior," and it's just that easy. In Jesus' name, amen.